First, we want to thank the choir for that beautiful rendition of our scripture today. What a wonderful melody to hear those words. And as we look at it, we think of Jesus as a teacher and how he stood on the mountain and how he shared these words with the crowds. Hear now the scripture from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be here in a way that we might feel our hearts touched, that we might sense your presence, and that we might know that you know us. And in knowing us, you know our needs this day. Lord, we lift them up to you. Be with us, use us, lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is graduation day. And you, by that, might be thinking, what in the world is he talking about? I thought it was Groundhog Day. But over the past few weeks, we have been studying in the book of Matthew. And Matthew tells us that we come to that point where Jesus begins to transfer authority from himself onto his disciples. Our passage today, which Ruth read, is from the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is perhaps that great portion of scripture that many Christian leaders have called the Christian Manifesto. It's sort of a summary of the whole gospel, and it begins with the Beatitudes today. And as Ruth shared, there were a great multitude of people who were following Jesus. You'll remember that Jesus went from Jerusalem to Galilee, and there he began his ministry, which included teaching and preaching and healing. And people came to see him, to hear him. They brought those who were afflicted, that they had great hope that maybe they might get healed. So great crowds came. And Jesus often had to go to a point of high ground in order to speak to all the people. Our scripture today says that he went on the mount. There were great multitudes, but his disciples came to him. His immediate disciples were around him, and it's to them that he began to speak. There are those Christian scholars who believe that this message, and the Beatitudes in particular, were directed at those disciples, where Jesus was beginning to impart on them the next step. You'll remember in our previous passages, over the last 3 weeks, we have focused on the word repentance. Why? Because John the Baptist came preaching a message which focused on one word, repentance. And then we saw in Scripture that when Jesus picked up where John the Baptist left off, he too focused initially on that word repentance. And we've talked about repentance and how it simply means when we're going this way, focusing on ourselves and trying to call all the shots in our lives, we are called by God to include God in our lives. And when we turn from this and go to this, that's repentance. When we acknowledge those things that get in the way of who we could be spiritually, when we confess and repent and then receive from God all that God has for us, then things change. The Beatitudes, we learn from scholarship, was a description, not a prescription of how to live. By that I mean when we look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. It's not saying that we should aspire to be those things. What it's saying is that when we repent, when we turn to God, when we seek God's ways, then those ways become our ways. Those traits become who we are. Sometimes we learn from other pieces of written material about Christ. For those of you who grew up Catholic, you know that your Bibles included the Apocrypha with other stories. I want to pull from the writings of Eusebius, an early person in church history, and one of the stories that he told that's not included in Scripture. He says that at one point a person of royalty sought Jesus, needed help, and Jesus sent one of his disciples. What we see happening here is that there is built a trust, where God then trusts his disciples as that authority goes from Jesus to the disciples and they continue the work. Many times in the church, people come to me and say, "Pastor, my next door neighbor said to me that they wondered why I went to church and they're wondering what is it that we find there? What's this stuff about God?" And so the church member will say, "Gary, will you go visit them and tell them?" This passage is taking us from being those who were called to repent to those who are called to receive and those who are then empowered to live out the Beatitudes. Not a prescription, but a description of how we live. Often in our bulletin, not today because of communion, we have so much in our bulletin, but often we have this statement that the ministers of the church are the congregation, and the clergy who assist them are, and then they list our names. You are the ministers of the church. Our job is to encourage you to do that. If you think about it, how much evangelism, how much sharing of the gospel would take place if it were dependent on just us? We could be in three different places at a time during the course of the week. And look at how many there are of you. You are the ministers. When your next door neighbor says, "Why do you go to church?" your answer won't be, "Well, let me call the pastor." It will be, "This is why I go to church. Because I find God there. I find fellowship there. We're making our world a better place. We supply food for our community through the powwow program. We care about people. And through our rummage sale, we experience fellowship and we make things available to people. Our outreach ministry goes out into Phoenix and we are helping the veterans and the homeless and the seniors. That's why we go to church. And Jesus Christ has become Lord of my life. and it has changed me from seeking just my way to turning to seek what God has for me to do. Norman Vincent Peale tells the story about the time when he went to visit one of his parishioners in the hospital, a man who had lost a leg, who in time after that also lost the other leg. And when Norman Vincent Peale went there, he heard from the nurses, that man down the hall, he's just the most joyful guy. He's just the most upbeat guy. And when his pastor visited him, he said, brother, you've lost two legs. And people are saying you're the happiest man here in the hospital. Is that a front? Are you putting on a show for others? And the man said to Norman Vincent Peale, he said, pastor, see that book over there on the shelf? I do get down and I do get discouraged. But when I do, I open that book, my Bible, and I find there my medicine for life. My wife, Debbie, knows that one of my heroes growing up was a retired pastor. And I've shared with you many times about Reverend Hernandez. And just quickly, we'd be driving to church. He'd be walking to church. My mom would pull over the car with just us and the kids. Dad didn't go to church yet. That's another story. And she'd roll down the window. And in our church, everybody called each other brother, you know, and sister. Brother, do you want to ride to church? And, oh, no, sister. I'm walking to church because I might come across those alcoholics, he called them winos, who might still be out on the streets from the night before. And if I see them, I want to help them and I want to tell them about Jesus. And he said, no, I'm going to walk to church. If I get there, I get there. And off we go. And this happened every single Sunday. We drive down the road, there he was. I said, Mom, he doesn't want to ride. But I've shared with you, the part of the story was that these men started showing up at church. Who were these guys? One man one week, another man another week. They were the winos that Reverend Hernandez found sleeping in the gutters, still intoxicated or hungover, and he told them about Jesus. He led them in a conversion that excited them about God. They cleaned up and with his help started coming to church. On this Super Bowl Sunday, I was a big football fan growing up. I loved the Rams. I loved USC football. But as I think back in my childhood, who were my heroes? The retired pastors. Maybe that's why I'm one. They were my heroes at the kind of things that he did. Well, Reverend Hernandez later in life lost a leg. And then complications, he lost the other one. So this story about Norman Vincent Peale touched my heart because it reminded me of Reverend Hernandez. But as a retired pastor, he still wanted to assist the pastor in communion. In our church, we had rails like this. And when communion Sundays, people would come up to the rails and kneel. And the pastor would come along and give the bread. And the other pastor would hold the cup. And so what we did... The pastor of the church said to me, I was a high school kid, he said, will you push Reverend Hernandez in his wheelchair? He can hold the cup or the bread, and if you push him down, then he can distribute the elements and still participate. And I remember as a kid thinking, I don't want to do that. That's going to be kind of embarrassing. What will the other kids think? But then I said yes. And what a glorious thing it was for me to push that man who had been a hero unknowingly and to assist him in sharing communion. What we find is that there is a joy to life that the man in the hospital room that Norman Vincent Peale visited or in Reverend Hernandez that in spite of the things of life that can be a discouragement. He still had a joy, wanted to share his faith, wanted to live out his faith in a way that a teenage boy across the room noticed. On the day of my baptism, he came up to me and he said, "You will discover Christ in you will make your life different." And Reverend Hernandez was right. A Christian writer by the name of Douglas Weingeier says this. He says, something happens when we say yes to Christ. When we choose to repent, we choose to receive, something happens that changes us. And he said this, if you look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. He said this, does everybody receive comfort when they mourn? He said, life experience tells us that there's not always comfort when people mourn. And he went on to say, but then when you choose God, when you choose to receive the God who's been pursuing you all along, when we choose to say yes to God, then two things happen. One is we are called to become a part of a body of faith, where there are other people of faith who walk with us. And what I discover in those times when we mourn in the church, others of faith who understand and maybe have experienced that walk alongside with us. Two things happen in the church. That is that we don't mourn alone, we mourn with support and love of our brothers and sisters in faith. And two, as Douglas Weingeier says, we live in the reality of the power of the resurrection that gives us an understanding, a sense that when we mourn, perhaps we've lost a loved one, when we are down, we have the understanding of God's eternal life, love and presence with us. And with that, the power that the Spirit comes and comforts us. I shared a few weeks back that Scripture says that we are to be a people who are called apart. We are different. We are to make an impact in our world. Do you remember the comedian Lenny Bruce? Years ago, he said this. He said, you're only going to live to you're about 65 anyway. And he said, the first 21 years of your life, you don't enjoy it all because you don't know what's going on. And then he says you hit about 50 and you lose all your energy, so you're not going to be enjoying life after 50. So he said, that leaves about 21 good years in the middle. He said, and I'm going to live that life to the fullest. I'm really going to swing. I'm going to be a hot shot. And Lenny Bruce died of a morphine overdose when he was 40 years old. What Lenny Bruce never understood, as many of you know who came to know Jesus as your Savior when you were a little girl or a little boy, you know the joy of your Lord. I think of our kids, Debbie, and how busy and active and how much they've done in their lives before the age of 21. And then I think about that thing about 50 and energy. Lenny Bruce should have been here when we were decorating for the hanging the greens for the church, and we put ladders up and there's 80-year-old people hanging on the top of a ladder hanging greens. There is energy in this place. You don't think so? Anybody at the rummage sale last week? There is energy in this place, and there's energy when we have a purpose, which is to change lives. And when our neighbors come and say, why do you go to church? You tell them what you experience. There is today. I don't know where you're sitting. I didn't pay attention. Someone came in the door and said, Reverend Kennedy, we're here today because our Uber driver said we should try this church. The Uber driver was someone who went with me and Hannah on one of our trips to Mexico. And the Uber driver said, yeah, you're going to be in Sun City, try Willowbrook United Methodist Church. And I want to hear more about that story after the service. The Lord calls us into fellowship. The Lord calls us to lean on one another. And the Lord calls us to understand that the Beatitudes are not something that we do. They are the Beatitudes. They are what we be. We are in our living and trying to serve the Lord the best we can. We become the manifestation of those things for our world. This is the good news. This is the word of peace. This is why John the Baptist and then Jesus said, repent, turn, because God has something better for you. Amen. Amen.